Consequently, they have accepted a set of beliefs about the blessings of sainthood and nearness to God that is similar to positivism and naturalism. They should at least have considered whether my opponents had forwarded any proof against me, and if there was no such proof, and it was all mere empty talk, then was it in keeping with the norms of reason and faith that they allowed themselves to be influenced by such baseless slander? Even if we suppose, for the sake of argument, that I did make an error in interpreting a divine revelation and published it in a formal announcement, no reasonable person should consider this objectionable, for even prophets are not free from making such errors. Let me add that, so far, I have been blessed by God with more than 7,000 true visions and revelations, and it is an ongoing process with spiritual wonders raining down upon me night and day. Fortunate is he who surrenders himself to this divine dispensation and avails himself of heavenly bounties, and there is none more unfortunate than he who remains oblivious to these blessings and makes it his habit to level baseless objections and express uninformed opinions. I warn such people that, for the sake of Allah, that they have estranged themselves from the truth and from understanding the truth by giving in to such ideas. If, according to their assertion, it were indeed true that there is nothing special or unique about visions and revelations, and they cannot be considered a criterion for distinguishing between a common man and a chosen one, or between a believer and a non-believer, then those who seek God would surely be devastated. But let me assure them that Islam possesses this wonderful spiritual quality, that whoever follows its teaching truthfully and sincerely is blessed with special divine communion and experiences in his own self the signs of acceptance that other people never can. This is an inescapable reality, and countless righteous people become privy to it through their own experience. But only those can attain these heights who truly and sincerely follow the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and casting off their earthly garb, don the heavenly robes. In other words, they kill their earthly passions and enter into a new life of divine servitude. Even Muslims who are weak of faith have no affinity with these godly ones, let alone comparing them to disbelievers and sinners. Their condition is only revealed to those seekers after truth who remain in their company for some time. It was with this in mind that I sent letters and announcements to leaders of various sects, inviting them to come and stay with me and test my claim. If they had been sincere in their search for truth, they would have come in earnest. But as it was, none of them responded to my invitation, and whenever any of my prophecies were fulfilled, they tried to make it look dubious. If our own Muslim ulama have such hesitation in accepting this truth, then there is no point in inviting others to it. Let the ulama, who include eminent intellectuals and scholars, come and test my claim first. If they patiently and honestly spend some time in my company, they will surely find the truth. If it turns out that my claim is false, I will repent at their hands. Otherwise, I am hopeful that God will open for them the door to repentance and forgiveness. Their admonitions to me will only be meaningful if, after the publication of this writing, they put my claim to the test, and their views are substantiated beyond any shadow of doubt. But at the moment, their admonitions carry no meaning. The blindness of these ulama is indeed pitiable. I can see that the powerful surge of contemporary logic and philosophy has besieged their hearts and minds. They put too much emphasis on these forms of learning, consider them to be sufficient for the perfection of their faith, and ridicule spiritual blessings in a manner that is not worthy of them. I also believe that they do not do this superficially, but because they actually believe it to be true. Their innate weakness has caused them to succumb to this disease, for they do not possess the light of truth and are full of empty words. They seem so certain of their own views and forward them with such zeal that if it were possible, they would even drag the enlightened ones back into darkness. They are very eager for the physical victory of Islam, but are completely unaware of what the true victory of Islam stands for. The true victory of Islam, as is evident from the word Islam itself, which means submission, lies in our completely surrendering ourselves to God and freeing ourselves of our egos and our passions. No idol, whether it is the idol of our desires, our intentions, or the idol of creature worship, should stand in our way, and we should submit ourselves entirely to the will of God. After reaching this state of fana, which is self-annihilation, we will attain baqa, which is the life of eternity, which will give our eyes a new light, our minds a new brilliance, and our lives a new passion, and we will become a wholly new being, and the same eternal God will become for us a new God. This is the true victory, and one aspect of it is divine communion. If Muslims do not achieve this victory in this age, mere intellectual victory will lead them nowhere. I am convinced that the day of this victory is close at hand. God will himself cause this light to shine forth, and shall have mercy on his hapless servants. Propagation. Another message that I wish to convey to the people at large, and to my Muslim brothers in particular, is that I have been commanded to receive an oath of allegiance, the Bayt, from seekers after truth who wish to acquire true faith and purity, and yearn to find the path to Allah's love, and want to give up their foul, slothful, and false existence. Whosoever finds in himself the willingness to do this must come to me. I will be their comforter, and will do my best to ease their burden. God will bless them through my prayers and my attention, provided they are ready heart and soul to abide by his conditions. This is a divine command, which I have hereby conveyed. The actual words of the revelation in Arabic are as follows. إِذَا عَزَمْتَ فَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ وَاسْنَعِ الْفُلْكَ بِأَعْيُنِنَا وَوَحْيِنَا الَّذِينَ يُبَايِعُونَكَ إِنَّمَا يُبَايِعُونَ اللَّهِ يَدُلَّهِ فَوْكَ عَيْدِيهِمْ, which means, when thou hast determined a matter, then trust in Allah, and build the ark under our eyes, and according to our instructions. Those who enter into covenant with thee enter into a covenant with Allah. Allah's hand is above their hands. Peace be on him who follows the guidance. Ghulam Ahmad, 1st of December, 1888.